that you heard earlier. Brothers and sisters, he writes, join in imitating me and observe those who live according to the example you have in us. For many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. I have often told you of them, and now I tell you, even with tears. Their end is destruction. Their God is the belly, and their glory is in their shame. Their minds are set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and it is from there that we are expecting a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He will transform the body of our humiliation that it may be conformed to the body of his glory by the power that also enables him to make all things subject to himself. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, my beloved. Now, first, I want to move back to that first scripture that Don read for us from Genesis. In that, we hear of an awesome and breathtaking and kind of weird scene. There's this man who came from Ur of the Chaldeans and God in a covenant ceremony. So, you know, they have the usual stuff of a covenant ceremony, slaughtered animals, and then there's this act that indicates a solemn oath. Each party to a covenant agreement would walk between the two halves of the slaughtered animals, acting out a sort of swear, as though to say, and so may I be like this slaughtered animal if I should break our covenant. And in this scene, there's a smoking fire pot and a flaming torch that pass through the animal halves, indicating that God has confirmed the promise. God has made this solemn covenant with Abram, but Abram's part in the ceremony is notably absent. This covenant in chapter 15 of Genesis is God's responsibility. God has agreed to provide a huge number of offspring for this childless man, Abram, and God has promised that Abram will possess the land that surrounds him on this remarkable occasion. So in a very real way here, Abram belongs to God. Abram belongs to God. Now in the next scene, we meet those who were followers of Jesus, who had gathered for the Jewish festival of Pentecost. Yes, it was a Jewish festival because before it was a Christian festival. And the Holy Spirit came among them, allowing them to be united despite even divisions of languages. And the Holy Spirit came on each one in this mysterious, enchanting way with tongues of flame and wind. And that day we mark as the birthday of the church. That's the day we celebrate today with red and songs about the Holy Spirit. That day marks the reality that the church belongs to God. The church belongs to God. Now, in the passage I just read, Paul was writing from prison. And he was writing to the followers of Christ at a Roman colony in Philippi. Now, he is asking these Christ followers to imitate him, not the ones whose, it says, the God is in the belly. Now, we don't really know exactly what that means, we meaning Bible scholars. But apparently, those with a belly God may have been a group whose focus was on dietary laws. You know, eat the right stuff and don't eat the right stuff and then you're good to go. Or it may have been a group whose focus was on eating a lot because they had the freedom of Christ. Maybe they were kind of misinterpreting that. Or it may have referred to a group whose focus was on a, let us say, specially marked area of the body, kind of in the vicinity of the belly. In other words, a euphemism for circumcision. Topics that Paul addresses in several of his other letters, all of these are. In any case, it's clear that Paul didn't want the Christ followers at Philippi distracted by this other group. And instead, he wrote these eloquent hymn-like words. He told them, here's what you heard in the scripture sentence, our citizenship is in heaven. And it is from there that we are expecting a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there's something important that we might miss in that statement. He's drawing an analogy to their highly coveted Roman citizenship. And by not mentioning their highly coveted Roman citizenship and emphasizing their citizenship in heaven, he's really making a point, perhaps one that's relevant to us today. So in effect, he writes, no matter any belly god or Roman citizenship, you, people of Philippi, belong to Christ's saving colony of heaven. So here, the Philippians belong to God. The Philippians belong to God. Now, this all causes me to think a little bit about to whom and to what I belong. It seems like a good spiritual discipline to do this from time to time. I would like to recommend it to you today. And I have a few items here. This is the grown-ups sermon time props over here that I brought to help us think about that. So here I have, here's our family photo from Christmas time. Of course, the children look much different already. I belong to my family. I belong to my family. And of course, people responded that way during the children's sermon as well. These are relationships that are rich beyond belief. I remember once, before I had children, I heard a parable, and I tried to find it, and I couldn't, but about a man who went to a wise man. I don't know why these are all men, but anyway, that's how I remember it. And he says, tell me about what it is to be a parent. And he said, well, you will experience deeper love and deeper pain than ever before. Amen. And at the time I thought, huh. And now I go, uh-huh. So I belong to my family. Now I also have my U.S. passport. Here's my U.S. It's actually expired, much to my chagrin, because I'm going to need it and I will have to, you know, do the whole rigmarole too. Anyway, here's my U.S. passport. Now, what is it to belong to the United States of America? Now, this is kind of interesting as it is Memorial Day weekend, after all. So there were lots of flags at Target yesterday. We went there. It can be kind of a fraught relationship. There is much that is good and wonderful about being a citizen of the United States of America. I remember when I was on a archaeological dig in Israel, working with some graduate students from a university there, and there was a woman who looked rather like I do, who was an immigrant to Israel from Russia. And she was always eyeing me in a certain way, and one day I thought, I think I should keep my passport on me. It just was one of those things. Several things went down on that trip. There was a bus bombing in Jerusalem. A university student died. And, you know, it's a tough place. And we were digging right on the Green Line. And there's all this politics about, like, who does this land belong to? And when I got home to the United States, I literally wanted to kiss the ground. So I have felt that way. And Fred and I were watching that, you know, that Red Nose thing the other night. And I don't know if you saw that, or there was this little piece that Jack Black did in Uganda about a boy who was an orphan and lived in the dumps. And it was powerful and moving. And we sat there and just, you know, were choked up and said, how fortunate we are. It's just really astonishing. But there's lots of difficulty, of course. My hard-earned money goes to lots of things that I really don't want it to go to, and I don't really have a choice in that much. There are wars and wars and wars and wars that we have and do and will engage in. And as we remember and honor this weekend those who served in the armed forces, who've died, we're also right as citizens of heaven to pray that no one ever again dies in a war. So it's fraught, this citizenship in the United States of America. Well, let me lighten it up a little bit. This is my orange leaf ounce back card. Anybody else belong to the orange leaf ounce back club? You know, maybe this makes me one of those God of the belly people. But, you know, I know enough Bible that I can do both sides of the argument in my own head. So, you know, I'm with the book of Ecclesiastes, which repeats 7 times, eat and drink and enjoy your life. And, you know, as long as it's low fat, active cultures, you know. So, and you don't have to fill the whole bowl. That's the other thing. Right. Anyway, I belong to Orange Leaf. I think it can be, you know, sometimes like a borderline spiritual experience. I have my business card here from the Wimberly School of Religion at Oklahoma City University. I belong to Oklahoma City University in certain ways. Now, it's United Methodist University, and I always say I get along really well with the United Methodists as a UCC clergy person. We do well together that way. And, you know, it's really cool that my job is to help prepare people for ministry. And I get to go to chapel as part of my job and preach in chapel and help lead it sometimes. So, you know, that's usually doesn't present conflicts with my belonging to God. Of course, with any institution, you know, there's enough dilemmas of leadership and personalities and structures and so forth that, you know, from time to time, I do need to remind myself that I work for God. And I find that helpful. Now, I also belong to the United Church of Christ, and of course, specifically, Open Arms United Church of Christ. So here's my name tag here. I didn't wear it today because it's in the bulletin. Here's my little UCC necklace that I got as an ordination gift. And this, in fact, was my ordination stole. Let's see, I was ordained 15 years ago this summer in the year 2000. Red is the color of ordinations, the liturgical color, because Pentecost, church celebrations, birthday, all that. So I belong to the UCC. Now, of course, the UCC has so little governance structure, all of that, that it's hard for it to conflict with belonging to God. But I think our denomination, and indeed our congregation, does a really good job of repeatedly asking the question, how do we belong to God? What does it mean for us to belong to God? And last week in this room, many of us had a very hard conversation about what does it mean for us as a congregation to belong to God? Do we belong to a building or to a pastor or to ministries? How does that work? How do we belong to God? And I feel very confident that we as a congregation are going to make the right decisions about how we belong to God, because we keep asking that question. How is it that we can belong to God? It's not an easy thing to do. Now, the last thing, I didn't actually dig out this prop. I have somewhere in my files. So now you see why. This document from the state of Ohio, which is where I was ordained and where I lived before I came here. And it says that I am licensed to solemnize weddings in the state of Ohio. And I had some conflicted feelings about that document when I lived in Ohio, because, you know, there were certain people who I was allowed to legally solemnize their wedding and others who I wasn't. And so I was having this sort of conversation with myself about how is it that I belong to God and the state of Ohio, right? So now here's the thing. I live in Oklahoma and have for nearly 8 years now. And I never, I guess Oklahoma, there's no document. What it is they put your name in a book and you need to know the page number. And you write your page number on the marriage license, from what I understand. Now, So I moved here. I'm a professor. I don't, you know, do the pastor thing quite as much. And so I haven't been asked to do that many weddings. And the weddings I have been asked to do, well, let's just say, didn't require the legal document until, what was it, October 6th. Was that the date? Thought I put it down in here. October 6th, 2014. So then I thought, well, so am I going to do the document? You know, what if, what, I thought, oh, I'll wait and see, you know, if anybody asks me to do their wedding. Do I want to work for the state of Oklahoma? Do I want to belong to the state of Oklahoma in that way, right? Now, you know, some recent legislation has come down on this, and I just couldn't resist the Chicken Fried News version of this in the Gazette. Pastors across Oklahoma can now breathe a sigh of relief, knowing it's sarcastic. Just FYI, knowing they can't be forced to perform same-sex weddings thanks to a new law that gives Oklahoma churches a right they already have. Apparently, you can never be too fastidious when it comes to protecting our civil liberties, so our government intervened to pass another law. I am proud to join our legislature in taking a strong stand in defense of religious liberty and the freedoms awarded to all American citizens by the U.S. Constitution, said Governor Mary Fallon in a media statement. No longer do we have to worry that a same-sex couple will ask someone who shuns the sanctity of their relationship to officiate anything on the most important day of their life, because logically that would be a total disaster for a pastor. Anyway, yeah, right, really sarcastic. So this has got me thinking, you know, like, they're kind of jerking around the laws with who does what and all of that. And I've kind of been thinking, you know, maybe I'll just stay out of that whole working for the state business. And anybody who wants to talk to me about officiating a religious ceremony for them, we'll have a conversation. And the whole legal part, well, that can be somebody else's business. I don't know. There are pros and cons to it. But I'm thinking about it. I'm thinking about, I belong to the state of Oklahoma, but do I want to belong to the state of Oklahoma in that way? I don't know. You can give me your opinions later. But you get the idea about belonging to God and to other things and the choices that poses for us all. And so I wonder whether or not you all agree with my own dilemmas of belonging. What are your own dilemmas of belonging? Perhaps asking that question is a good spiritual discipline for all of us to practice. Because no matter what else we belong to, we belong first, friends, to God. We belong to God who took on the whole burden of the covenant with Abram, making amazingly unlikely promises for offspring as numerous as the stars in the sky, making a promise for the land of milk and honey. We belong to God who gives birth to and unites the church through the Holy Spirit. We belong to God in the name of Jesus our Savior, who is the head of our colony of heaven, and we will be transformed to the glory of Christ. We belong to God first. So come, citizens of heaven, residents of God's house, recipients of God's covenant, let us recall the sign that we belong to God. It is not a cross on our neck. It is no certificate, no membership card, no registration, no documentation. It is water. The water of our baptism, our belonging to God, is sealed with water and the Spirit. Our belonging to God is sealed with this cup, the cup of the new covenant, over which we give thanks together every week here in our community that belongs to God. So let us remember our baptisms, Let us remember the communion feast and the one who prepares the table. Let us remember that we belong to God. Amen.